Ronnie threw himself back in the heavily padded teal chair in his stateroom and stretched luxuriously. George, in the purple chair, looked ready to burst with curiosity.
So?
So? All right, I did it, and did it right. You should have seen him trying to turn off a fan that wouldn't turn off.
A fan?
Let me explain. The little captain had scheduled another emergency drill, this one for the crew alone. I already put my hook into the system, remember? And had a line out for just this sort of thing. I reeled it in and rewrote it. Actually, all I had to do was put a loop in it and sent it on its way.
So the fan kept turning back on, and they couldn't stop it.
A slow grin spread across George's face.
How unlike you. It's so gentle.
Well, except for the stink bomb.
Stink bomb?
Did I mention? The little captain had put three scenarios in the computer. It would generate one of them using her parameters. I sort of mixed two. One was a contamination drill, and it wasn't that hard to change a canister, which would have released colored smoke, for one releasing stinks. The little captain was most upset.
When she figures it out...
She'll never figure it out. She'll think it's her own problem set. Even if she calls it up, she'll see that loop. Everyone makes mistakes that way sometimes.
But that canister?
George, I am not stupid. I spent an entire day repainting the drill canisters so they have the wrong color codes. All of them. She'll assume it's something left over from the previous captain. Like that great mysterious whatever that held us up at Tackerman Roads. That's the first thing I did, right after we decided to scrag her. She can look for prints or whatever as much as she likes. She picked that canister up herself and put it where it went off. Besides, she thinks I'm a callow, foolish youth. That's what Aunt Cecilia keeps telling her. We're safe, I promise you. If she even thinks of it, Aunt Cecilia's blather will unconvince her.
We have a slight problem, m'lady.
It had not been easy for Harris to spirit her employer away along paths she knew were safe, but she managed. They were now in the Ponix section reserved for fancy gardening. Cecilia had banished the gardeners.
Again?
Your nephew. I can deal with him, but he may come running to you if I do. Or I can try to ignore him out of existence, but he may cause the crew some inconvenience.
Somehow, when you say inconvenience, what I hear is much worse.
Cecilia looked down her nose as if she were wearing spectacles and had to peer over them. She reminded Harris of one of the portraits of her ancestress.
Well, I can probably keep it to inconvenience.
Harris reached out to feel the furry leaf of a plant she didn't recognize. It had odd lavender flowers, and it gave off a sharp fragrance as she touched it.
I hope you're not allergic to that. It makes some people itch for days.
Sorry.
Harris looked at her fingers, which did not seem to be turning any odd color or itching.
You're asking about Ronnie. I've told you before, I'm sick of that boy. If he's done something that deserves response, do what you will, short of permanent injury. I do have to answer to Berenice and his father later. It would be awkward to admit that I sanctioned his death. But aside from that...
Cecilia made a chopping motion at her own neck.
You're not really happy about that. What else?
Oh, I think what makes me so furious is that he's not all bad. He may seem it to you.
Not really. Remember, I told you before that I've seen a lot of young officers, including very wild ones. For that matter, I was a wild one.
You?
What? You really thought I was born at attention with my infant fist on my forehead? You should have seen me at 16. And will you try to tell me you were completely tame?
At 16? I spent all my time with horses. Of course, there was that one young man.
Aha! Uh-huh.
But it didn't interfere with my riding. Nothing did. And nothing came of it either. But Ronnie, he's got brains, and I don't really doubt his courage. He's just spoiled, and it's such a waste.
It always is. What he needs is what neither of us can give him. A chance to find out that his own foolishness can get him in permanent trouble, and only his own abilities can give him the life he really wants. At his age, such tests tend to be dangerous, even fatal.
But you think you can do something?
I think I can convince him to play no more tricks on me. That won't help overall, most likely. He'll blame me or you, and not his own idiocy.
It's that crowd he hangs around with. Yes, his mother spoiled him, but so are they all spoiled.
Harris did not argue. Her own opinion was that the influence went both ways. Ronnie was as bad for the others as they were for him. But he wasn't her nephew, and she didn't have any remnant guilt feelings. She suspected Cecilia did. Cecilia had commented more than once on the family's attempts to make her perform in ways they thought important. Some of that must have stuck, even if it didn't change her behavior.
All right, do what you can. I won't expect miracles. And I won't sympathize if he comes crying to me.
I don't think he will. He has, as you said, some virtues.
Do you want to tell me what you're planning to do, or do you think I'll let something slip?
No, you wouldn't, I'm sure. But my methods are, as before, not entirely amiable.
Go on, then. I won't ask. Just see that you're on time for your lesson. Today you get higher jumps and more of them.
That's one I hadn't thought of. Don't use the simulator until I've had a chance to check it, will you?
Ronnie wouldn't touch it. He's being tiresome about horses.
No, not for himself or even you, but to get at me. I'll be on time. In fact, I'll be early. And I'll make sure it hasn't been tampered with.
Ronnie had never believed in premonition. He had known himself far too mature and sophisticated for any such superstitions. Thus, the results of his first touch of the keyboard, after George left, came as a complete surprise. He had thought of another glorious lark, something harmless to baffle the little captain even further. She liked to go riding on Aunt Cecilia's simulator. Well, what if it turned out to be under his control and not Cecilia's? He had in mind a mad gallop across enormous fences that would surely have her squealing for mercy. And to Cecilia, it could still appear that nothing was wrong and the captain's nerve had broken. He held out for some little time, letting himself imagine all the ramifications. His aunt's scorn of those who couldn't ride well, the captain's fear and then embarrassment, the confusion of both. They would never figure it out, he was sure. Then he reached for the console. He would just take a preparatory stroll around his battlements, so to speak, making sure that all his hooks were in place. His fingers flicked through the sequence that should have laid all open before him, and the screen blanked. As anyone who has just entered a fatal command, he first thought it was a simple, repairable error. He re-entered the sequence.
Hello?
The screen was still blank. He thumbed recall, and the screen stayed blank.
Odd.
Even if he'd hit the wrong sequence, the screen should have showed something. He hit every key on the board in order, and the screen stayed blank. He felt hot suddenly.
I couldn't have.
There were ways to wipe yourself out of a net, but his sequence had been far from any of the ones he knew. He stared at the screen, and worry began to nibble on the edge of his concentration. He didn't have to enter the commands here, of course. Shifting control to the console in George's or Buttons' suite would do. But he hated to admit he'd been such a fool, whatever it was he'd done. But the screen stayed blank, not so much as a flicker, and he didn't want to lose his good idea. The captain would have her riding lesson not that many hours later, and he wanted to be sure he got the patches in first.
Damn it!
He shut off his screen and went to the door. It didn't open. He thumped it with his fist with the same effect as thumping a very large boulder. His fist hurt, and the door did not move. He had flicked the controls of the comm to George's cabin when the realization first came.
Oh, crap!
This could not be an accident. The comm was dead. No amount of shaking the unit or poking the controls made any sound whatever come out of the speakers. Ronnie flung himself at the terminal console again, determined to break through. The screen came on when he pressed the switch, but it responded to nothing he did. No text, no images, no nothing.
Damn it, it isn't fair!
From the corner of his eye, he saw the screen flicker. Only then did it occur to him that while he might be cut off from the outside might very well be watching him. He came closer.
All's fair in love and war. Don't mess with my ship.
The screen's script even seemed to have a nasty expression. The meaning was clear enough, though he was in no mood to give in. But the messages stayed, two clear lines, and again nothing he did changed them. Ronnie turned away, furious, and kicked the bulkhead between his room and his private bath.
You can't do this to me! This is my aunt's yacht!
The automatic doors that should have enclosed the shower had not budged, and he had to wrestle them into place. A dense steam filled his bathroom. He saw with horror that the drain hadn't opened. Ronnie yanked towels from the racks, from the cupboards, and threw them at the overflow. If it got into the bedroom, it would stain the carpet. His mother, not just Aunt Cecilia, would be furious if he stained new carpet. When every towel was soaked, the drain opened, as if it had eyes to see. The wet towels squished under his feet. His shoes were soaked, and his trousers to the knees. Ronnie felt the onslaught of a large headache and glared at the mess. He wrung out the towels into the shower enclosure, better than walking on the wet mess, and hung as many as he could from the racks. The floor was slick. It could be dangerous. He grubbed into the back of the cupboard and found the cleaning equipment he had never used. A sponge, dry for a wonder, a long-handled brush, a short-handled brush, and two bottles of cleaning solution, one blue and one green. The sponge eventually soaked up most of the damp on the floor, though it still felt clammy. He had only thought he'd been angry before. Now he experienced the full range of anger, anger he had not even suspected he could feel. He was so angry that for once in his life he did not strike out at walls or doors or furniture. Instead, he went back to the terminal and sat before it. As he had expected, the screen had another message line now. You are confined to quarters. You will receive adequate rations. He wasn't hungry. He didn't care about any blankety-blank rations. He filled in all the blanks he usually did not allow himself to fill, forgetting none of the expressions he'd ever heard. But he did so silently. He was not going to give her the satisfaction.
How did she do it? How did she figure it out? She isn't that smart. She has to be nearly as old as Aunt Cecilia.
Ronnie fumed silently, staring at the screen. Suddenly it cleared, and after a moment of blankness, reappeared in almost normal configuration. Almost, because the usual communications icon had been replaced by a black diamond. Gingerly, as if the screen could bite him, he touched the service icon. A menu appeared. Food, linens, clothing, air temperature, water, medical assistance. He thought it had had a few more items the last time he'd noticed it, but he hadn't paid much attention. The servants were usually hovering. He hadn't needed to call them. Now he touched linens. The screen blanked and displayed a flashing blue message. Not in service.
What do you mean, not in service?
Ronnie pressed his lips together, amazed that he could be even angrier than a moment before. He was stuck with wet towels. What a petty revenge. He poked the board again. It returned him to the service menu. He thought of trying every single choice, but decided against it. It would only make him angrier to know that the others didn't work either. He backed out of the service menu and looked at the main screen. Innocent, bland, it looked back. No communications, and missing functions on the other icons, he didn't doubt. What else could he try? Information? He almost snarled at the little blue question mark, but controlled himself and put a finger on it. The screen blanked and gave him a solid 10 seconds of good choice before turning up the information menu. He had never tried this one before, since he'd never thought a ship as small as his aunt's could hold serious surprises. Now he found a choice of items he was sure had not been his aunt's idea. 1. What did I do wrong? 2. What can I do now? 3. What are you going to do? 4. What do the others know about all this? It looked like someone's bad idea of a strategy game. He was going to have nothing to do with it. It had to be a trap. But after sitting there for a long time, he realized he was tired, stiff, and hungry. Food had been promised, though it hadn't arrived, and he did wonder just how much the little captain knew. He pressed the first choice.
Good choice.
Ronnie jumped. He'd hated the more vocal teaching computers he'd happened across. The screen blanked, then filled with a list of what he supposed represented his errors. It was not framed in terms his Aunt Cecilia would use. What hurt particularly was the assumption that he and the captain shared a frame of reference, the military. In just the way that his instructors had dissected unfortunate actions of the past, she dissected his action against her, without, it seemed, the least rancor. That hurt, too. She didn't think of him as a rich, spoiled brat, but as an incompetent junior officer, one of many. He did not like being one of many. He was chagrined to learn that his hooks had been found and rebaited, so to speak. She had the entire conversation with George, it was played back for him, and from his own speech samples had produced comm messages to the others, telling them he felt like some time alone.
Of course, they think you're in here plotting more mischief against the captain and crew.
But when am
If you have questions, you may choose them from the menu when they appear.
But after another paragraph of careful explanation of his faults, he found a list of questions. He chose the one about the canisters because he really couldn't understand why repainting them had been so bad. They were just disaster drill fakes anyway. What did it matter if one of them turned out to have red smoke, blue smoke, or a bad smell?
You asked about the canisters. Do you know the chemical compounds in each?
You! No!
Then you are not aware that some of the compounds are toxic and some are flammable?
They are?
They were for drills. The label said so. And things used in drills were harmless, weren't they?
Tell you what. I'll put the contents up on your screen in detail. Did you have any system in mind when you repainted those canisters, or did you do it at random?
Well, mostly I did them the color of the ones in the next box. That way I always knew which ones I'd done. There were a few, though, that were loose, and I just made them all orange with a brown stripe. Most of those were blue and the two green stripes, but one was white and gray.
Then you switched the box labels?
Yeah. How'd you know I repainted them?
How do you think I knew which storage bay you were in with George? Think about it.
Ronnie didn't even bother to try calling out again. The screen had changed. Now it was full of chemical formulas and reaction characteristics. Ronnie fought his way through it. He was actually supposed to know most of this. He remembered having seen it in class. But he had never had a good reason to put it together.
Oxidizes the metallic powder and... Oh, gosh. This stuff would really burn. Really burn. I could have built a damn bomb.
Silence mocked him. He didn't need a warning roar from the plumbing or a smart remark from the computer to point out that setting off a bomb on a spaceship in deep space was not an intelligent thing to do, and setting one off without even knowing it was, if possible, stupider. He felt cold, almost as cold as he'd felt when he realized he'd intruded on the bridge during jump transition. If the captain had picked another canister, the gray and white one he'd painted orange and red, rather than the blue and gray he'd painted black and green, it could have been a real emergency. A real disaster. A real... Another look at the screen to confirm it. End of the whole trip. For everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause any real trouble.
Instead of an answer, the screen changed yet again, to show a transcript of what he'd said to George, every word. It looked worse, far worse, in glowing script on the screen. It looked as if he had indeed wanted to cause trouble, to harass and humiliate the captain, to frighten and divide the crew.
I didn't mean it that way!
But Ronnie knew he had meant it that way, back when he thought it was safe to mean it that way. The food, when it came, was bland and boring.